side. You can help me, sir, with that mic. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it so much, the time to come and share with the saints again. And I know, I would just be unwise to preach long this afternoon. That would just be so unwise for me to get up here and to give y'all a long, long sermon. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go and preach. In Matthew 16:18, the Bible says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's what we're going to talk about. I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about the church of Christ that was in God's mind before he made the world. And I want us to see this afternoon that, and I do appreciate so much the elders, Brother Jackson, Brother Burnside. I appreciate them so much. And your minister, I appreciate him as well, his kindness. I want you to know I really appreciate you, sir, and just how kind you have been to me. Every time I meet you, you're the same, and I appreciate that, as well as your elders here. And I do appreciate this church, this congregation. It's just a great privilege when I get an opportunity to come back to Stony Island to meet such great people of God. Appreciate your kitchen committee. Yeah, we dine sufficiently, scrumptuously. We ate condogishly. Yeah, don't look for that in the dictionary. Yeah, but we ate well, and so we do appreciate everybody as well. Now, let's look at the church that was in God's mind before the world began. Will you look with me at the book of Ephesians chapter 3? In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul, in verse number 11, or go back to verse number 10, Paul says, well, let's go back. I'll read fast. Let's start at verse number 1. I'll try to get it all in. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word how that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery." Now, you need to understand that word mystery. Pay attention to that word mystery. All right. "As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery." And there go our word again. Pay attention to that word mystery. "In the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel." This is going to happen by the gospel. He's going to get the Gentiles on the inside, and all of this is going to happen by the gospel. "Whereof I made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I shall preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable," notice that word, "unsearchable riches of Christ." Verse number 9. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship," here go our word, "of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world," watch this now, "which from the beginning of the world," this mystery God had in mind, he says, "from the beginning of the world, he hath been hid in God, created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church." All of this, what was in God's mind, this mystery, it was going to be made known by the church. And then he says, "It is the manifold, a multifaceted wisdom of God." Verse 11, "according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, a couple of things. He talks about purpose. That God had a divine intent in mind. Intent is a purpose. Intent. Purpose deals with an intent beforehand. What one intends to do beforehand. And then he mentions that God purpose. That is a specific result in mind. He purposed a purpose. He purposed a purpose. And then he talks about mystery. Now that word mystery it does not mean something that is mysterious that you can't figure out. But when you read the word mystery in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, we'll see it also in Romans 16:25, is mystery is that which God held back till God was ready to reveal. There were some things that God held back till God got ready to reveal, which means there was something before the world began that God held back. And God just showed us glimpses of what it was he was going to do. God always had in mind there was only going to be one church. That's why God, in the Garden of Eden, God made one man. Put the one man in the garden. You notice that one man, he put him to sleep. When he put that one man to sleep, he opened up his side. When he opened up his side, that's how he got his wife. How did he get his wife? His side was open. Well, Paul says Christ is that second Adam. When that second Adam came, we see where the Bible says he slept the sleep of death. Soldier pierced him in his side. Side was open. That's how he got his wife. He was showing us glimpses of his divine plan. In Genesis chapter 6, Noah, one man, built one ark for the saving of his family. Jesus, one man, built one church for the saving of the people of God. And the Bible tells us, and when you look at the comparison, everybody on the inside of the ark was saved. Everybody on the outside was lost. Everybody on the inside of the Church of Christ was saved. Everybody on the outside, those individuals are going to be lost. Now, I know what I just said. You have to be in the Church of Christ, living right. Now, make sure I don't want you all to tie me up after church. I do know what I just said. Now, well, so Paul helped us understand this mystery. God held it back. Then he says, I'm just going through these words. He says, unsearchable. That means it's untraceable, which means man can't figure out everything that God has done and God has planned to do. He says, manifold, multifaceted. And then he uses the word in verse 11. He said, this is the eternal purpose of God. God has an eternal purpose. Now, the word eternal is very powerful. Eternal, break it down in layman's term, the word eternal, it means always was, always is, always will be. The word eternal is not contained in time. Now, we live in time. And time brings about changes. If you don't believe me, look at your baby picture. Time brings about changes. But God lives in eternity. And because God lives in eternity, you have to understand, God looks down on us in time. And what God does, and what God had in his mind in eternity, God had in mind before the world began that he was going to establish just one church. I know that's right. Let's look quickly. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, watch this, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He did all of this in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Verse 4. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How did he do this? Verse 5. Having predestinated. Now, you got some folk that's confused about the doctrine of predestination. And they say that God has already decided who he's going to save, who's going to be lost. But they don't understand the word. The word is predestination. Destination is a place. Not a people, it's a place. Predestination, pre means beforehand, which means God has already predetermined a place. That those who will be in the place will be those he's going to bless. Bible says, have predestinated us unto the adoption. That's a beautiful thing. We have been adopted, and that's powerful. That's adopted. Remind me of a story quickly of these kids that were picking at this little boy on the playground every day. They kept picking on the little boy every day. They were picking on because they said, oh, you were adopted. You were adopted. They were laughing at him, and they would pick on the little boy by being adopted. And one day, he had enough. He went home crying. He said, this is it. He said, this is it. I'm not going to cry no more. And he said, when I go to school tomorrow, I'm going to be ready for those bullies. And sure enough, he went to school the next day, those bullies. And around time they went for recess, they were picking at him again by being adopted. And he said, you know what? That's right. He said, you know, y'all parents had y'all, and they had to take y'all home. but I was adopted. That means my parents chose to take me home. It's a powerful thing when you understand God adopted us. That means he chose us to take us home. And that's a beautiful thing. And the Bible says, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God had already in mind a place that if we choose him, you see, we are chosen if we choose him. You got to understand that. And the Bible says, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Talking about in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The remission of forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and understanding, or your Bible says prudence, verse 9, having made known unto us, here it is, the mystery. They go our word again. That which God held back till God got ready to reveal. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Here it is, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus. What was God's plan before the world began? To gather all mankind together in one in Christ Jesus. That was God's plan. He wanted all of us to be together in the body of Christ in one, and this was his plan before the world began. And I know that's right, because the Bible tells us. And look with me quickly, brothers. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and let's look at quickly at verse number 23. Acts chapter 2, verse number 23. I'll try to go quick. Y'all at least nod every now and then. Make sure y'all still up. I don't make sure nobody go comatose while I'm preaching. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse, let's back at verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22. Look at verse number 22. Watch what the Bible says. Acts 2, 22. Now, Peter said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and signs come on and read. Ye yourselves also know. Now watch this now. Christ was delivered by determinate counsel. Now counsel means a meeting. There was a meeting, which helps us understand from the understanding there was a meeting before time. And about determinate. There was something that was determined in the meeting. What was determined before the world began? Well, one thing we know, that Christ had to die before the world began. God had a plan to save man even before he made man. I know that's right, because Revelation 13 and verse number 8, the Bible said that Christ was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Get for me 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. Watch what the Bible says, y'all. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. You there, Brother Carter? I'm waiting on you, sir. Yeah, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. See the word ordained? That means approved. Fore means beforehand, which means Christ was foreordained. Go to read, sir. He was foreordained where he had to die before the foundation or the laying down of the world. God had some things in mind. God has some things in mind before the world began. And the Bible said it was determined. And I know that's right. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 22. When Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, the Bible tells it was already determined. It was already determined that he had to go. Already determined. Watch what the Bible says. Luke 22 and verse number 22. Yes. Yes. No, Luke 22, 22. Yes, sir, Luke 22. Yeah. As it has been determined, which means it was already determined that Jesus had to die. And let me just tell you this. Y'all remember when Jesus, he was in the garden praying to his father. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. But then it's almost like he remembered what was in the meeting. And he said, not my will, but your will has to be done. And let me just say this. God set up a plan by which he was going to save man before he made man. And nobody could change what God has done. And that's why the Bible says in Galatians 1 and verse number 8, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, grace of God, unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then he said, but though we or an angel come from heaven and preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be an anathema, let him be accursed. In other words, this plan of God, it cannot change. Nobody can alter the plan of God. What was in God's mind? That the church of Christ was, look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25. Romans 16 and verse number 25. Watch what the Bible said. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25. Now unto him, to establish you, according, watch this now, that's the plan. How are you going to get him in the church? God's plan was to set up this church as a place for those individuals who choose him. Those individuals, the predetermined place was the church. God was going to make known this, his everything he was working on since he made man. What was God working on? That he was working on that church to get all of us in that one church, and he did all of this before the foundation of the world. He had one message that was the gospel of Jesus Christ to get all of us in the same place. And the Bible said, watch this now, read it now. Read that again, sir, verse 25. Now, to him, watch this, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, the revealing of the mystery. Now, we talk about the mystery, the unveiling of the mystery. Chapter 3, God going to get all of us together. Chapter 1, in one place. Chapter 3, Gentiles with the Jews in one church. That was God's divine plan before the world began. Before it started, God already had the church of Christ in mind. And that's why we ought to be thankful we are members of the church of Christ. And that's the beautiful thing about the church of Christ. I'm in a church that was in God's mind before the world began. And then, not only that, my brother, go to 2 Timothy. Quickly, I'm trying to hurry. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. Just want to just show you something. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. I just want you to see this real fast. Who has saved us. He saved us and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose. He did all of this to call us together by the gospel before the world began. That was God's plan, to get everybody together in one place before the world began. Well, what happened? Well, man, like I said earlier, man became dissatisfied with the Word of God. And when man became dissatisfied with the Word of God, because the devil saw he couldn't stop Christ from building his church, so the devil decided, I'm going to build so many until you won't know which one is the right one. That's why you got some good religious people in all of these different denominations. You got some good people. I mean, people who really want to go to heaven. But the problem is, they are listening to man, and they're not listening to what God's Word says. Why do you think we have A, Assemblies of God, B, Baptists, C, Catholics, D, Disciples of Christ, E, Episcopalians, F, First Assembly, G, Church of God in Christ, H, Holiness, I, Independent Baptist, J, Jehovah Witness, K, Kingdom Living, L, Lutheran, M, Methodist, N, New Birth, O, Open Fellowship, P, Pentecostals, Q, the Quakers, R, Reformers, S, Seventh-day Adventist, T, Theological Society, U, Unitarian, B, Victory Outreach, W, Watchtower Society, X, skip over X, no denomination, start with X, Y, YMCA, Young Men Christian Association, and Z, the Zealots. Why do you think we have all of them? And because none of them start with X, you ought to X every one of them out, because none of them are the church that was in God's mind. Thank God for the church of Christ. What is the church of Christ? I'll tell you what it is. A, is the assembly of those who have been saved. B, is the bride and the body of Christ. C, those who have been called D is the door to heaven. E is eternal in purpose. F, it is the Father's. It is the Father's thoughts of those individuals who will be first with Him. G, it is the church of God's choice. H, it is the heavenly household of faith. I, it is eternal and those who have been included and incubated. J, it's the joy of heaven. K, kingdom of God's dear son. L, it is the Lamb's bride. M, it is the mystery revealed. N, it is the New Testament observation. O, of the Old Testament prophecy. P, it is prophesied by the prophets. Q, is where the quickened are quarantined. R, where the redeemed are received. S, where the saved are set. T, it's the temple of God. U, unity of the Spirit. V, it is victorious in nature. W, it is the way. X, it is exalted above the hill. Y, it is Yahweh's son, bride. Z, it is Zion, Zion. The church of Christ is the one that was in God's mind before the world began. And God did all of this to set up just one church. And you know, it's amazing that people say they can't understand the concept. Brother Brown, how can there be just one? And you know, I've been preaching a long time. And you know, but think about it. Nobody ever argues about the fact Noah only built one ark. It was one place of safety back in the day of Noah. Nobody ever argued me ever about the fact, well, how do we know there was only one ark? You know, somebody else could have had a boat. We just don't. Nobody ever argues about that because it's an understanding that when it comes down to the one ark, if you wanted to be saved back then, you had to be in one ark. Everybody understood that. When it comes down to one church, what has happened, because now man thinks he has a choice. Man feels he has a choice, and therefore he thinks somehow that he thinks the way God thinks. But Isaiah 55 said, God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth. Now, that's a long way, y'all. Let me just help you to understand that. He says, high as the heavens are above the earth, which means we don't even know where the heavens end. God said, that's how far it is, your thoughts from my thoughts. It's from start at the earth and go to the end of the heavens. And man has never been to the end of the heavens. We don't even know where it is. And so, therefore, God said, that's when you compare the way you think to how I think. And we're talking about that over dinner. And about some things in the Bible that God did not reveal to us. And that's why Deuteronomy 29:29, I said the secret things belong to God. There are just some things that we're just not made known to us. There are some things. And one lady back home, she said, I just got to get this. She said, I'll be so much better if you can explain this to me. She says, God has no begin. He has no ending. I got to. But how do you understand God has no beginning? She said, Brother Powers, I need help with that. I said, that's no problem. You want me to tell you? I can help you. Just give me a question. I'll help you. And I said, God has no, he has no beginning. He has no end. She said, I got the part that he has no end, but I can't grasp the concept he has no beginning. I said to the sister, I said, you know, when you go to a cemetery, when you look at, and that's the way it used to be when I was a little boy. They changed so much now. But it used to be on a cemetery, on a headstone. You have a person, they have their life, they live from this time to that time. Are y'all with me? They have their birth, the day of their birth, then they have the date of their death. And so they live from this time to that time. Well, and I had explained, so I took it to the Bible, where the Bible said God is from everlasting to everlasting. That's how we understand God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And you have to understand, when it comes down to God, there is a part of God. That's a part of God we can never grasp. We can't grasp that concept of God, that fact that God had no beginning. And even when we pray sometimes, we pray from a standpoint where we have a misconcept of God. We say, God, please visit brother so-and-so in the hospital. You got to understand, you don't have to send God anywhere. God was there before they built the hospital. All right, y'all still ain't with me. But the God we serve, you don't have to ask God to go anywhere. God is omnipresent, which means God is everywhere at the same time. That's how awesome God is. God is so awesome. You can't send him nowhere because he's already there. And that's the awesomeness of God. But God had in his mind, and when Jesus built the church, I don't have time to deal with all this, but when Jesus built the church, I didn't have time to study this, I don't want y'all to go sleep on me, but in Deuteronomy 18, in verse 18 and following, Moses prophesied that when Jesus comes, He's only going to say what his Father gave him to say. So whatever Jesus said, it was what his Father told him to say. So when Jesus stands on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and when Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church, you have to understand, he is only saying what the Father gave him to say. And that makes it even more powerful, the concept about the Lord's church. And then this church is indestructible. It's indestructible. Don't have time to deal with all of that. It is indestructible. The church is going to last. The Bible says even the gates of hell, even the bars of death, even decisions of hell cannot prevail against the Lord's church. That's how powerful the church really is. And you ought to be a member of the church. And you got to understand there's only one church. Now in the Bible, you'll read about the kingdom, where the kingdom talks about the reign of Christ. Christ reigns over his church. It talks about the body. Well, then it says that Christ is the head, is an organism. It describes the church as a living organism. It talks about the church is a temple. It talks about the worship aspect of the church. It is a body. It is a temple. It is a kingdom. It talks about a house, where the house deals with, Hebrews 11, verse number 7, it deals with the family. And Christ is our older brother, and God is our father. Well, Brother Powell, why have all those different descriptions? But you, listen, you could be describing the same thing, but just looking at it from different ways. Well, what do you mean? I'm my wife's husband, but I have three children, I'm their father. I have six sisters and two brothers, I'm their brother. Are y'all with me? Same person, but the same person is a brother. The same person is a husband. The same person is a father. Are y'all still with me? Stop on the same person. So the same concept when it comes down to one church. There are different descriptions, but it's still talking about the same church. I don't have time to deal with all of this. I wish I had time, but I don't have time for all of this. Y'all, the preacher is going to come tomorrow night and Tuesday. He'll cover these gaps. But the church, when Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It. That's third person singular present active indicative. It is a pronoun, takes the place of the noun, and is singular in nature, meaning there's only one. There's only one church. Whenever you talk about the church, it's always described as only one. I'm closing. And I'm hoping I don't slip off and fall like I almost did this morning. Thank you, sister. One step. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord. Now, the folk he was writing to in Ephesians, he said they were in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23, the Bible said that Christ is the Savior of the body. The same body he's going to save are the same folk that's in the Lord, chapter 6. In chapter 4, verse number 4, the Bible said there's only one body. If there's only one body in chapter 4, he's going to save the body, chapter 5. Everybody's in the body, same folk that's in the Lord, chapter 6. In chapter 3, verse number 6, he said that the Gentile might be fellow heirs and of the same body. He wants everybody in the same body, chapter 3, one body, chapter 4. He going to save the body, chapter 5. Everybody in the body is in Christ, in the Lord, chapter 6. Chapter 2, verse number 16, that we might be reconciled together in one body. One body reconciled in chapter 2. Same body, chapter 3. One body, chapter 4. Everybody in the same body, chapter 5. He going to save the body in chapter 5. Everybody's in the body is in the Lord, chapter 6. Then when you get to chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 22-23, he said the church is the body. So since the church is the body and the body is the church, therefore in chapter 2, we're reconciled together in one church. In chapter 3, he wants us in the same church. Chapter 4, verse number 4, he talked about the same church. Chapter 5, he's going to save the church. Chapter 6, everybody's in the church is in the Lord. Which means you cannot be in the Lord without being in the church. That's how important the church is. The church, and folk will tell you, the church is not important. It was so important. Jesus went to the cross and died for that one church. And then he's married. He's married to the church. There's only one. Why would he have more than one and then only allow us to only have one? Don't make any sense at all. Listen, God bless you this afternoon. More I could have said about that, but I don't want to stretch y'all Christianity and y'all be sleep on me. But I want to just give you enough for us to appreciate the Church of Christ. We ought to have even a greater appreciation that I'm in the church that was in God's mind before the world began. I don't have time, because if I had time, I'd take it to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. It says, even before the world began, God laid out good works we ought to be doing. He, even before he saved us, he already laid out for us what we ought to be doing. And he did this before the foundation of the world. It's very powerful, we understand. Before God spoke the world into existence, there were some things already in God's mind. And then I didn't have time. If I had time, I would have showed y'all also that the concept of trying to worship God different ways never entered God's mind. Y'all just jot that down and go back and study for yourself. In Jeremiah chapter 19 and verse number 5, God said they began to do some religious practices, and God said it never entered my mind. They were doing stuff God said never even entered my mind. I don't know why they're doing the stuff they're doing. And when it come down to a choice of worship, when it come down to instrumental music in worship, when it come down to women preachers in worship, when it come down to sprinkling or pouring to get into the church, God is helping us to understand there were some things that were never in my mind. God said, I never even thought about that when I designed the Lord's church. God bless you. God bless you, saints. We just ask that you keep us in prayer. The Lord's will on tomorrow, we'll be flying back home. And I always ask the church to give me, pray for me, please. And when you pray, don't just pray for traveling grace. Oh, no. No, no. Pray for traveling grace and arriving mercy. Yeah, that was and I tell this where I go, it's a true story. A man and his wife lived in New York, and they decided they rented a Winnebago to travel all the way to California. And they did. They rented a Winnebago, drove to California, got it there to California. They spent weeks out there enjoying themselves, vacationing. He had just retired. He couldn't wait. They looked forward. They saved up their money. He retired. They drove their Winnebago to California, spent weeks out there, turned that thing around, drove all the way back to New York. And as they were pulling up in the driveway in New York at their home, the man suffered a massive heart attack and he died. Now listen, he had traveling grace, but he needed some arriving mercy. When I travel, I tell folks, don't just travel. Don't just be praying for no traveling grace. No, no, I need some arriving mercy. I need some arriving mercy. And so therefore, keep me in prayer, and I'll be praying for you all here at Stony Island as well. I appreciate so much the kindness that you all always show me when I come. And I look forward, you know, to being here. And the minister, the elders and the minister, I appreciate them so very, very much. But I want to extend heaven's invitation now to those individuals who are here. This afternoon, if you are not a Christian, you ought to be a Christian. You ought to be in the church, not church you can find in your Bible, and then a church that, if you know, we talked about this afternoon, that was even in God's mind, how God had a plan for this church to save man before he even made man. You got to first, you come to Jesus by Jesus. Listen to me, I'm done. You come to Jesus by Jesus. The first J is J, and Jesus here, just Jesus. That's what you need to do. Don't listen to what a man says. Don't listen to what a preacher says. You need to hear just Jesus. The E is the evidence about Jesus. How Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4. That's the gospel. The first S in Jesus, you got to stop doing what you're doing. Acts 17, verse number 30. That's called repentance. You have to repent. The U is the ultimatum. Matthew 10, 32, 33. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. You deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And the last S is, you got to submit to submersion. You got to go in the waters of baptism. Because it's in the water, my friend, all of your past sins are going to be washed away. That's the beautiful thing about the Lord. I'm so glad he's not like us. I don't know what to do. Because, man, the good you do, we can't remember. The bad you do, we can't forget. But I'm glad God said, when you come to him, he'll take your sins and he'll remember them no more. That's the awesomeness about the God we serve. Now, people say all the time, forgive and forget. Listen, you can forget that. You will never be able to do that. We don't have the capacity. Sometimes that's why I think we have a problem with forgiveness, because we try to do the impossible. It's impossible for you to forgive and forget. We human. We going to remember. Y'all ain't right. Y'all ain't acting right. That's all right. Y'all ain't like y'all know what I'm talking about. All right, all right. But I'm just trying to help y'all to understand something and get through some stuff. You know, but even though we remember, we still don't hold it against the person. Are y'all with me? That's how you forgive. Even though I remember what happened, I don't hold it against you. And I'm able to move on without letting it affect our relationship. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. Now, folks, I can't forgive. Yes, you can. Because forgiveness is two words. Oh, my goodness. Y'all got me. I'm preaching another sermon here. I'm trying to close. Forgive. Forth give. Two words. Forth give. It means to give forth. Which means it's the idea that God has given us something. Forgiveness is the idea that we have received something. And listen, God never expects us to give someone else what he has not already given us. The reason God, I know you can forgive, is because God has forgiven you. He has given it to you. And whatever God gave you, you can give it to somebody else. You say, well, I just can't love that person. Yes, you can. Love is a choice. Did you realize that? Love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. It's a choice. Now, your feelings go along with your choice, but love is a choice. You choose who you love. Brother Pounds, I hear what you're saying, but listen, let me tell you this, and I'm closing again. For a third time today, I'm closing. Parents, you think about the person that hurt your heart the most, made you cry. Think about the person that made you cry, broke your heart, disappointed you in ways unimaginable, but you forgave them. Your children disappointed you, upset you, made you cry, but yet, guess what? We can forgive them, and we'll move right on, and not only that, we won't let nobody else talk about them either. And we'll move right on with those kids just as if they never did anything. You know why? You chose to do that. You chose to forgive them. And that same ability you have to forgive your children when they've done you wrong, you can forgive one another. We have to choose to do what is right. God bless you now. I talked too long. Y'all both say, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Keep going. No, I'm going to let y'all go. But if you need to come, if you're a member of the body of Christ and you straight away, you come back to the Lord through a process of repentance, confession, and prayer. But listen, let me just say this. I'm closing again for four times. God is good to us. He's mighty good to us. You know, I thought about this, you know, last night I went to bed. I was still on Florida time. And so I went to bed so early last night. I went to bed, got to bed so early. I'm trying to figure out why I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm wide awake. I figured out you went to bed too early. But you know, I was sitting there thinking how good God is. You know, if you go to sleep 8 hours a day, you know, that's 1/3 of your day you're unconscious. You ever thought about that? If you go to sleep at night 8 hours, that's 1/3 of your day you're unconscious. God's been good to you. What are you saying, Brother Pounds? I'm telling you, there are times in your life you've been unconscious, not even aware of what's going on around you, but God watched over you. Do you realize by the time you turn 3 years of age, if you sleep 8 hours a day, that's not even include your naps. When you turn 3 years old, you spend 1 year of your life unconscious. And God's been watching over you. Think about that. When you turn 9 years old, 3 years of your life, you've been unconscious. But God watched over you. 3 whole years of unconscious. By the time you turn 21 years old, you spent 7 years unconscious. Let me come a little closer. By the time you turn 30 years old, you spent 10 years of your life unconscious. And God watched over you. All right, let me come a little closer to some of y'all. By the time you turn 45, you spent 15 years unconscious. We don't even think like this. We just get up in the morning and keep going. We don't even understand how good God has been. By the time you turn 60, I'm gonna find y'all street after a while. By the time you turn 60, you would have spent 20 years unconscious. And God's been watching over you all that time. And the only thing I'm saying to you as I close, if God can be that good to us, shouldn't we be good to him? Come on. If you need the Lord today, if you need prayer, come on. If you need to repent of your sin, come on. Need baptism, come on. Right now, we got to stand. Let's sing a song of encouragement.